Well, we welcome each and every one of you out this Sunday morning, this 21st day of January. We believe that it's not by accident that you're each here, that God's got something specifically for each and every one of you.
Yes.
So, amen. I want to share this morning, I want to pick up kind of along the lines where Pastor Mike had kind of gotten to. His was the bullseye of the Spirit, not to stay in the flesh realm and the Acts that we know are significant. The book of Acts, Acts of the Apostle, Actions of the Believers. But I want to touch on this area. Some of you that have been with us a while realize that you'll hear a message pretty consistent here at Shield of Faith that if you're a believer, you're already a full-time minister, and you've got a ministry. We believe everybody does. We believe religion tries to categorize as real powerhouse, fivefold ministry gifts, and the rest are kind of like laity or peons. But then we realize that's not scriptural. And so we learn, what does the Bible teach? And then we learn that the Bible teaches that when you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost. You don't get a baby Holy Ghost. You get a powerful Holy Ghost. You get the same one anybody else has. So you take the most powerful man or woman of God in your eyes, who you think that is, and you got the same power in you. Amen? So I was thinking about it as I was studying the book of Acts, and I was looking at the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of Believers, or the actions that believers were being taught. And this is what my New King James Spirit-filled Bible says about the purpose of this book. It's a continuation of what our risen Lord Jesus continues to show and teach believers through the Holy Spirit, how to act and what actions to take. Practicing Christianity under the power of the Holy Spirit. So, when I was breaking down the transitional period where Jesus comes on the scene, we know he always was, right? He wasn't just created as a baby. He took on humanity as a baby. But he always was. He was back in the garden and before. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But he transitions us through the Gospels. And you think about the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is born, and we hear about his birth. And then he grows, and we hear how he transitioned, getting believers ready for this new covenant that he was going to establish. So the Holy Ghost anointed four men to be used to write these four books that would give us guidelines of showing what Jesus did to get us to the book of Acts. And when we break out into the book of Acts, we see now believers, by the power of the Holy Ghost, are being encouraged to take the steps of actions that Jesus did. And so we look at the uniqueness of that book, and I look at after Acts comes Romans. Romans through the Thessalonians, we're always believers being challenged as a city, the Church of Rome, the Church of Colossia, the Church of Corinth. And the direction was that this church of believers would take the actions and implement which were being shown in Acts. If we were modern day today, it would be the Church of Saginaw. We call ourselves the Church of Saginaw because believers have only one body. That body is the body of Christ, amen? And so when the Lord addresses a region, he normally addresses it by the city. And that's why we believe in kingdom building. We believe in what God is doing as a city. We're not naive to think that only Shield of Faith has this revelation, and if you go here, you're really enlightened. If you go other places, you're not. No, we believe we need all those other places to embrace the Word of God that we can grow and be powerfully used, amen? Now, I'm going to read a scripture to you this morning. It's in your hand out there, but it's out of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read one verse, verse 11, just to put it into context of what I just said. And this is what the Bible says, Paul to the church at Rome. It says, "But the Holy Spirit of Father God," or him, "who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you." Everybody say, "The Holy Ghost dwells in me." The same Holy Ghost that was used to raise Jesus from the dead abides in you. That's pretty powerful. And then it goes on and says, "He," your Father God, "who raised Christ from the dead will also give life." Now that word life in the Greek is zoe. It's God type of life. It's an extreme powerful life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Say in me. So we realize this. We've come through Acts, been shown actions that were supposed to be taken. And we realize as we get into Romans here that we all have the same powerful Holy Ghost that was in Jesus that raised him from the dead. So if that potential was in Jesus and we got the same potential, then all things are possible. Amen? So then we understand why he told us all that he said and how significant it is. There's a scripture I'm going to read out of my message version of Hebrews, chapter 13. I'm going to pick up at around verse 7. And it says this: appreciate those that are your overseers. Yours might say that rule over you. That's fathers and mothers in households. That's employers over employees. That's those that you bring under your wing to impart to them and take responsibility. It says, appreciate them that gave you the word of God. Take a good look at the way they live. Huh. So we, as believers, are supposed to be living pretty good because people are supposed to take a look at how we live.
Yes, sir.
And let their faithfulness instruct you, as well as their truthfulness. There should be no consistency that runs through us all that's defiant. For Jesus, and this is where we always have this in memory, for Jesus changes not yesterday, today, and forever. He's always totally himself.
Amen.
Don't be lured away by those with the latest speculations about Jesus. And then I like this line, because you hear this a lot at this place. The grace or the unmerited favor of Christ is the only good ground for life.
Amen.
The grace of Christ that comes through him, unmerited favor, is the only thing to produce good life. Now, as we stand here and we all represent the kingdom and we all got the same Holy Ghost in us, because I am believing that you've all made Jesus Christ your Lord. And if you haven't, it's real simple. You invite him in and you surrender your life to him, and then you get the power of God, the Holy Ghost. You get the kingdom. You get all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's all available. But to be a releaser of this, we have got to act upon what we learn. Everything reproduces after its own kind. It started in Genesis. If you wanted puppies, you had to have dogs. You couldn't get puppies from cats. You couldn't get soybeans from corn. You cannot get something from something you're not planting. So we learn how to plant so that we get a harvest of what we want. And it passed on because we learned in Jesus tells us then that we will reap what we sow.
Yes, sir.
If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. We don't reap hell if we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. We miss out on life and life more abundantly. So we're in here learning why was acts or the actions important. It's kind of like what Fran's word was. She had this feeling. She had this anger. If she'd have never done anything with that and would just said, I guess this is just my thorn. I guess I'm always just going to feel angry at people. There'd be no breakthrough. Well, doesn't the Lord love her? Of course he loves her. But he feeds on what we plant. She had to take the truth, and the truth was to find out what in the world, God, do I need to do? And when I act upon that, you get the fruit from it. And each and every one of you that stood to your feet today because you were dealing with that same spirit, your action was you got up and you made a decision, I'm standing, believing for a breakthrough. Can God break through without you stand? Of course he can. But why would we let pride keep us from stepping out with all the possibilities of becoming who God has told us to be powerfully. The grace of Christ is the only good ground for our life. So, if that's it, and we all got that grace when we got saved, and we got everything, we're all on equal playing ground.
Amen.
So now, bear with me as I again emphasize that you guys are ministers. Say, I'm a minister. If you have your Bibles, you can turn here if you like. I'm looking now back in my New King James, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This ministry 28 years ago was founded on certain scriptures, and one of them was in this particular section. Let me get to it, but I'm going to start in verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but should live for him who died for them and rose again. We all pretty much understand that. PK was sharing a little bit up there. It's enough trying to keep yourself, but we are supposed to be a blessing to others. So we got to get through ourselves in order to be able to be a blessing to others. Amen?
Yes,
it says, therefore, from now on, we are not regarding anybody according to that flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him that way no longer. Verse 17, very famous. This is not the foundational scripture, but we're getting here. If anyone is in Christ, they become a new what?
Creature.
Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That says to everyone. When everyone makes Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, they become a new creation. Old passes away. What? The old filthy rags that we try to take called our righteousness, and we put on his righteousness. No longer are we sinners. We are freed because he paid the price for our sin. And then verse 18 takes us as new believers in Christ. This is our foundational scripture here. Now that you're born again, now that you've given your lives, now that you're new creations, the word says, now, all things are of who? God, who reconciled us to himself. Now, if you don't understand reconcile, which means he made a way to get to him. He got through all the junk in our lives and he made a way. He reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ, the only way. And then he gives us, say us means me, a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, now, as a believer, you have a ministry to get people to Jesus. You have reconciliation ministry, which is just as powerful as any, because it's not just about you. It's about you getting people to him. That's why we break this religious thing. Oh, we got to get them to the mighty men and women of God. No, we got to get them to Jesus. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So, ministers, you got a ministry. That's why I read that back there, that we are to be an example. We are representing the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
And it's not just representing you.
Amen.
It's representing him. Amen? Amen? All right. Verse 19. That is, with this ministry, God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. He did not point out all their trespasses. He committed to them the word of reconciliation, the word of God, how to get to Jesus. We know Romans 8, 9, and 10, confessing, believing. We know the path. It's laid out in the word. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now notice, it says we. Does we mean me? You gotta get beyond. We doesn't mean the apostles and the apostles and the evangelists and whatever you want it. It's believers. We.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
We are representations. We are ambassadors. On behalf, we are reconciled to God. He made us who knew sin to be no sin no longer, that we would take on his righteousness. Go to chapter 6, verse 1. This is what it says. We then. Who's the we again? All of us. We then, as workers together.
Exactly.
It doesn't say just for a few. Believers are to be workers together with who? Him. Who's the Him? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Jesus. It's the Father God. We have the Holy Ghost in us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. They all work together, but us are part of Him. We are workers together with Him, and we plead with you, please don't receive this grace of God in vain. In other words, this free gift and all the benefits of it and all that pertains to life and godliness, please don't just not use that. Do you understand how effective are we going to be to get other people to Him, to reconcile to Him, if we become the blockage? If we become, oh, I don't have that kind of personality. Oh, I can't be used. Now listen to me right now. Every one of you in here, your best witness to others is not whether or not you give them the right word or not. Your best witness to the world and to your family is your lifestyle. It is how you live, not what you say. Because what you live speaks so much louder than what you're saying. They can't hear what you're saying because they're watching you. Exactly. So if you want to be, you want to lead people and reconcile people to Jesus, you don't have to all of a sudden, well, I'm going to get bold and get in people's face and give them a word. No, you live happy, you enjoy your life, you have life more abundantly, and people will want what you got, and you can lead them to Jesus. Yes, sir. It's about our lifestyle.
Amen.
Paul put it this way. He said, things that wouldn't even be sin to me, I'm choosing not to do because I don't want to lead anybody astray. Our lifestyle choices aren't just about us, folks. People are watching you.
Amen.
See, even in my days when I resisted, I'm thankful. Now remember, you've heard me say, nobody chooses who you're born to. Some people were born to beautiful parenting, some were not. But that doesn't make you less of a person if you didn't have good upbringing. It just means when you get saved, there's a lot of catching up to do because you haven't been taught a lot of these basic principles. But the point was this. What I always loved about my mom and dad, it wasn't always just what they were teaching me. It was what they showed me in their life. I never heard my mom and dad ever criticize anybody that drank, smoked, or sweared, but they didn't. But they didn't criticize those that did. But they patterned this life that says, wow, I want to grow up and be like them. Even though for a short season you might stray, the emphasis is, wow, I want to have a relationship. My mom and dad were always romantic. They were always lovers. They were always a pattern of how a healthy marriage should be. I wanted one like that. And so what I'm saying to all of us is you've got eyes watching you, not to put you in bondage, but to tell you, you as a minister have a responsibility to look good for His kingdom.
Amen.
And that's not a bad thing, and that's not a bondage thing. That's a God thing. Now is the acceptable time. Verse 3, we are going to give no offense in anything that our ministry will not be blamed. Our ministry. That's verse 3 of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. Our ministry means your ministry, my ministry, our ministry. Doesn't get blamed. But in all things, we are commending ourselves as ministers of God. In all things, we're doing everything we can to be the best representations of Jesus. This is not bondage, this is freedom. I am free to make good choices. I am free to be able to set the best example I can possibly do. And even when I fail, God's not looking at my failures, but He's telling me, righteous man of God, get back up. Let's keep going.
Amen.
Righteous woman of God, you've fallen, you've gotten mad, you've lost it with your spouse. Get back up.
Amen.
Righteous man and woman falls a few times, but we get back up. Because the Lord's not looking at our falling. He's looking at the greater one that's in us. He's looking at the Holy Ghost that empowers us and causes us to be powerful men and women of God.
Yes, sir.
What an exciting time. With all the things that are happening out there, I'm telling you, I tell my wife, what a time to be alive. Things are coming and happening, and we get to be born to be a part, to be used in God's kingdom for this day and this age that we live in. Amen? James chapter 1. James. Verse 20, I'm going to start with verse 21. This was to believers. James, mighty man of God. Therefore, believers, lay aside all things that would cause wickedness and receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now listen to me. When we're talking about saving your souls, we're not talking about saving your spirit. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your spirit got saved. It got recreated. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So when we get in here and we act upon the Word of God, we get the fruit of what the Word says. So when we're declaring we can do all things through Christ, we're declaring that because we want to plant that, because we want to be able to do that. So, it goes on, it says this. Be doers of the word and not just hearers, because the only one that gets deceived is yourself, which means we will always reap what we sow. Don't deceive yourself by thinking it's any other way. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's the essence of it.
Amen.
And it goes on, it says this. Verse 25, he who looks in the perfect law of freedom and continues in it will not be a forgetful hearer, but he'll be a doer of this work. And this person is going to be blessed in what they do. Here are actions that cause us to be successful. Actions that are going to cause us to be victorious. Nobody makes us take those actions. But when we do, the fruit of it, wow. But look at me this morning, church. Stop and think of your upbringing. Did you have anybody tell you when you were being raised up, maybe in a Christian home or not, that you're a minister? Did anybody tell you when you gave your heart to the Lord, wow, you got the Holy Ghost came to live in you? Did anybody tell you you're just as powerful as anybody else? See, we religiously say that, oh, look at how powerful this person is. Now listen. The reason why we call somebody more powerful than another is because that person that we see is putting actions and he's receiving a harvest on what he's acting on. When we do the same thing, the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. So what we have got to re-change in your mindset is so you begin to see yourself as a minister. I mean, Pastor Mike and I, when we pray with all these pastors and so forth, that they're astounded. How can you have so many different people in your church? They're just all ministers and so forth. I says, easily. You loose them and say, go do it. Amen. If God tells you to have a Bible study, have one. If God tells you, I'm not threatened. You got the same Holy Ghost I got. Amen. If we're going to build the kingdom, then we got to have things being planted all over the place. If you don't have a cell group that's handy to you, create one. Well, what happens if we get a group of rebellious folks? God will deal with you. Don't be there. Don't do things that cause wickedness because you'll reap that to yourself. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. It's just going to probably get you there quicker. We should be the happiest, freest, most productive people on earth. We got everything in us. We just got to get some of it out of it, get it planted. Amen. Chapter 22. Or excuse me, chapter 2. Anybody get there? Verse 14 of James says this. What does it profit, my believer or brother, if someone says they have faith but they do not have works? Can faith save him? And if a brother or sister is naked and we say, hey, bless you, go your way, but we don't provide the thing, what does it profit that person? Verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now look at me. Faith is believing. The works is the actions that we take on what we believe. If you can believe till your heart's content, but if you never act upon what you believe, you're not going to get the harvest of what you believe. We have to act upon what we believe. If we believe that God reproduces things. That's why he wants a cheerful giver. I don't have to twist people's arms to give, but they're not going to get a harvest till they start giving.
Right.
They're going to lose job after job after job when they are stingy. But that's not me. That's what the Bible says. Everything reproduces after its own kind. If you want people to love you, you got to love people. And if you don't want people angry at you, you got to get angry at them out of our life. It's really simple if we just apply what Jesus said. Because we're ministers. See, I think sometimes people put ministers on a pedestal. And I want to say this, that's great, but make sure you're on that pedestal too. Because we're all ministers. Pastors use one place in the New Testament, Ephesians, when it says there are fivefold ministries. But being overseer is throughout the New Testament. Have a heart of pastoring your family, pastoring your loved ones, pastoring your community, pastoring your business. Evangelist. We're all supposed to do the work of an evangelist. We should be evangelizing where we work. That means we're living a lifestyle conducive. Wow, what does he have that I don't have? Well, if they don't have Jesus, then that might be a door opening. But you don't beat people up. You live your life. And what I have found, and I know PK will agree with me, when we came into this place back in the 70s to getting filled with the Holy Ghost, nobody set us down, thank God, and told us, you're not the leaders. So when we got filled with the Holy Ghost and got so on fire for God, we had nobody. We went to a Pentecostal church because we enjoyed what we felt, the presence of the Lord. But she was working at the medical plant now. What did she do? She began to share with people just on how much she loved God and all that. And the next thing you know, there's people being drawn to her that want to have a Bible study at work, Dow Medical Plant. So people are coming in, next thing I know, all different backgrounds, they're meeting in the facility, they're having Bible study. And then we got a group from Merrill that want to know more, and they want to know more about the charismatic movement, but they're in a particular denomination, so we hunt out, we found a place in Shields, we took the group or exposed them to a charismatic particular meeting for that type of denomination. It wasn't a threat. I wasn't thinking, oh my gosh, they got to get and be like me. No, they got to be like Jesus. So what did I do? I just began to pray more on our teams. We prayed. We had kids get healed and miracles. We prayed before every match. We prayed before every practice. Didn't think that I'd get in trouble. I just knew that I loved the Lord and I wanted to give. I didn't tell them how to pray. But as a team, we held hands and we prayed. We saw miracles. We saw breakthroughs. I didn't get in teachers' faces and tell them how to live. But when they had needs, they would pull aside in my office. I'd pray for people because they're watching us. I was thinking at the time there was a counselor that was really questioning and wanting to know more about the Lord. And this other teacher that I worked with and so forth was a traditional type of person. And this counselor was all getting ready to make a decision, wanted to find more out. And he went to this other teacher and he says, hey, my group's not like that Townsend group. Now, he'd never been with a Townsend group, whatever that meant. But what he meant was my lifestyle was not conducive to drinking or smoking and carrying on. But it wasn't telling people you're bad if you did. He says, our group, if you come with our group, we do a lot of fun stuff. We'll have a beer or two. And this guy, this counselor, came to sit down with me. He says, I want what you got. I don't want to be in this cool group. I want to be in one that's a fire. And gave his heart, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to connect. I'm telling you, you don't have to put down someone. Just live your life and be excited. And people want what you got. Thank God nobody told me I wasn't supposed to do this because I wasn't a so-called leader or I wasn't a so-called pastor or I wasn't a so-called fivefold. I just know that God empowered me with the Holy Ghost and now I want to share it with others. And that's the same today. It has not changed. The same empowering of the Holy Ghost is in those that will receive it, and you got the same potential. See, I used to be like this, and my wife will attest to this because we go back a long ways. We had all kinds of miracles. And, of course, I was being taught, well, don't share the times it doesn't work. Just share the times it does and watch what you say. So now we're telling people, oh, yes, Jeff, you just had more faith. You could move that mountain because Look at Pastor Juan. People were calling me up when they had people die. They wanted me to raise people from the dead because I'd been used in that capacity. But I found out, you know what? They're lifting me up. They're not lifting up Jesus. So I had to change that. And how did I change it? I began to share the times I rode in ambulances trying to raise people from the dead and it didn't work. Or when I was in a funeral home and we removed the management and ask and we tried to raise people out of caskets. When they were young, now remember, this wasn't graduation. I'm thinking, geez, reasonable faith, you get 70. Strong faith, 80. Here's a kid died. I don't think he should die. Let's try to raise him. They did it in the Bible. So we did try it. And it didn't work. Now you begin to share and people begin to put in perspective. Oh, it doesn't work every time for pastor either. Can you realize that? We do and we exercise our faith to the limit, but we're not healing anybody. We're not raising anybody. We're not saving anybody. It's the power of God that's in us. But if we don't see ourselves as a minister, we're never looking to minister. I can't tell you enough times someone, you get in a hospital, and it's not always, oh, we got to get Pastor Weldon up there to pray. You got believers that believe that they can lay hands on the sick, and they're up there praying and believing God. Wow, that sounds like action.
Amen.
That sounds like Acts 16 says, these signs will follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. It didn't say the pastors are going to lay hands. Or it's going to say the really spiritual overseers are going to. No, it says those that believe. How many believers I got in here today?
Amen.
Well, I know you are because you know you're ministers. You've got that same Holy Ghost in you. But see, the problem is if you're never praying for the sick, how are you expecting anybody to get healed? If you're never laying hands on the sick, you know, how's anybody going to? Pastor Mike was sharing somebody that I know very well, Heidi Baker, was told that, you know, God wants to use you to pray for people that are blind. And the first, who knows how many hundreds she prayed for, nothing happened. Now, she could have stopped. Oh, well, I guess that was a whatever. But she knew the principle. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. She began to pray and all of a sudden, blinded eyes, recreated eyeballs were happening. That's pretty exciting. But I'm here to tell you, I believe we all could do that. If we'd all step out and lay hands and pray, not forcing it, but I'm telling you, I've never had anybody say, well, don't you dare pray for me. Almost in every situation when people are going through tough times, it's, hey, is it mind if I pray with you? I don't say, well, you know, I'm a pastor, so that'll really make it powerful. No, I say, hey, you know, I care. We build a bridge. We don't tell people we're pastors. They may eventually find that out, but the key is, I am not doing this because I'm a pastor. I'm doing this because I'm a minister, because I got the same Holy Ghost in me that you got in you. And I'm trying to empower the church that's already empowered. Yeah. They just don't realize it yet. And they're waiting for something to happen when all along it's in them wanting to get out. It's like the Holy Ghost, I'm in here. I'm bored, silly. Let me loose. Loose the Kraken. Loose the Holy Ghost. And do some damage on the kingdom of darkness. That's called acting on what the Bible says, faith without works of obedience is dead.
Good.
Which the opposite is, believing and acting on it, it's alive. If you want to increase the excitement in your life, begin acting more.
Jesus.
Begin acting on truths that you know. Because you're going to reap what you sow.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to share another scripture in closing. This one isn't in your thing. This is something that I just felt I needed to bring at this point. And it's in 1 Corinthians 12. And you know how this whole section deals with how we all are important. We all need to note that we need the hands, the feet, the eyes. We need all the parts of the body. But I want to bring, I think, a revelation to many of you here to get you off this place of thinking it's only for these powerful giants. And it's towards the end of chapter 12. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and you are members individually. Verse 28. God has appointed those in the church. Now the church isn't just the building. We understand that, right? It says apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. He says all these things should be in the church, right? Now look at what verse 29 says. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Now hold it. It doesn't say all aren't. It's asking the question, and in my reference, it gives more. It says this. It says, this question is anticipating a negative answer. However, the wish isn't that there's just certain people, but all of those are available to you.
Right.
When you look at it in the line, so let me just break it down to you. Are all apostles? Apostle is a starter of a work. Do you know that you're to be apostles of your household? You're to prepare and start so that you have a healthy place for your children to be raised up and taught in your place of work. You begin to establish what you can do and can't do, and you have make that a haven. I made it at Hemlock. She made it at Dow. All are all prophets. The Bible says when we're going through the Acts, we're all to prophesy. And if you prophesy, you can give a prophetic word. So when we're in church, we all can prophesy. But if we say, oh, I don't know, that's only an elect few. Do you understand where I'm going with this? We all of a sudden take away, we only make a few. Are all teachers? That's a little bit easier. Are we all not to teach others what we know?
Yes, sir.
When it says, are all teachers? Oh, no. Yes, you're all teachers. You all have a prophetic edge. You all have an apostolic edge. Are all workers of miracles? Oh, see, if we take that only a few, what we've done is we stop praying for people because we can't operate in miracles. I got news for you. You are not the performer of miracles. He is. But he uses us as the vehicle to step out and lay hands upon the sick. Step out and give a word in season.
Yes, sir.
Do all have the gifts of healings? You betcha we do, because we got the Holy Ghost and he brings the kingdom and he brings healing and miracles. So if you want to remove your Holy Ghost, don't. You can say you couldn't. But the miracles and all this comes with him. Do all speak with tongues? Well, not everybody is using that, but I'm telling you, if you're saved, you have the ability to. The problem is people haven't been taught. They're waiting for someone to grab their tongue. Oh, my God. It doesn't work that way. No more than when you got saved, nobody said you, they told you, well, how do I receive Jesus? Pray this out. Dear Lord Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior. Same thing. And same way with tongues. It's not a, oh, pastor, look at him. He's no, it's in all of us. We got to yield to it. Okay, someone says, what are you talking about? Just stay with me. I'll go over one chapter. Where now Paul is teaching the church at Corinth. In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, it says this. And my caption is, when you come and have a church service. How is it then, believers, whenever you come together, each of you, say each means me. Each of you has worship, or yours may say psalms. You all got worship. You all have a teaching. It says that. You all, when you come into church, you all got a teaching. Now, we're not going to have everybody get up and give a teaching because there's not time for everybody to get up, but you've got that in you. When you all come to church, you have a tongue. Not everybody yields to that, but you got it because it says you do. Everybody has a revelation. Guess what? Everybody in here has revelations. But you don't step out and use it, it gets dormant. It's like a muscle. If you don't use that muscle, it atrophies. It gets weak. And so you got to keep working that. Does everybody have, where am I at? Oh, does everybody have an interpretation? You can if you yield to it. Let all these things done to build up the body of Christ. So that's in a church service. So going back to what I just said, folks, you all have the availability.
Exactly.
See, this is what happens in the body of Christ. This is why people get put at different places. Because you got people that are acting on truth, and you got others that are waiting for others to act. If you're waiting for others to act, it's not going to happen. You're supposed to be a minister in your home. You should be the best example possible in your home. Because you know where your first ministry starts?
In your home.
I have to be the best husband I can be, and my wife's got to be the best wife she can be, because that's our number one ministry. We don't have biological kids, but if we did, that's number two. We would set, we do it anyway, to set the best example we can so that we're not a stumbling block to all of our kids. We don't want them to see us doing something that would cause them to do something that would not be healthy or good for them. So we take the sacrifice, which is a delight and a joy, to be an example for others. But it's a ministry you implement.
Amen.
When we're out in public, we're out in public and we don't know who's all watching, but we're looking to enjoy life and to be a minister and looking to be a blessing. Now, I say all that because that's what the Lord wants for you all. If we're going to see 2018 be an explosion, not only in our church, but in your families, then you've got to begin to act even more so on what you already got. You are a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, mighty family of God. If you begin to act on it, you'll reap what you sow if you faint not. Let me address some of you and some of the things. In the capacity that I have here, you get to see people that are going beyond the call of duty. And I'm going to ask you, not to embarrass anybody, but if you will come and just stand with me just for a second or two, I want to talk about you a little bit, okay? Rosie, come here, Rosie. Now, come on here, Rosie. Now, let me just preface this right now. Rosie does minister here all over the place. She gets food ready. She comes and gives. She cleans. She never asks for anything. But so she's a minister here. But what I'm telling you, she's a minister in her home. Do you know that she's taken in people that don't have any other places, and she's boarded them for the most part free of cost? Now, nobody tells you you have to do that, but she does that. Do you know that she's worked for the post office for years, and I hear stories all the time how she's sharing the love of Jesus at the post office? Guess what? She didn't say, "Pastor, I need that title to be able to do that. Oh, if you only just ordain me in some way, then I'll go do that." No, she's a full-time minister now.
Amen.
All right, thank you, Rosie. Yes. Melissa, come up here, Melissa. So Melissa, newer to our congregation. Come here. Come on. Melissa is a blessing. She's done what she can, and we've met both of her sons, which are a blessing to meet. She's done her best, encouraged them, and so forth. She's here. You see her on the worship team. When Tommy, you know Tommy that graduated and went on to be with the Lord, she met him. She began to pick him up. He did not have a ride. Began to cart him all over the place at her cost, her expense, and so forth. That's a ministry. But it didn't stop there. So she calls, and she didn't know I'm going to do this today, but she called the church, and she says to Pastor Mike, "Is it okay if I invite? I got a class reunion coming. Do we got enough to set up another 50 or 100 students of mine? Is it okay if I invite them to come to church Sunday after our reunion on Saturday?" That's using. Now, maybe no one would come, but maybe 100 would come. That's not forcing. She's wanting to be a minister. Thank you, Melissa. Again, Richard. Richard and Cindy, a big blessing. They're all the time. Richard, come up here. Richard has shared his testimony, and we've been blessed since he's connected with us. And Cindy, we pray for extra strength on her. Amen?
Amen.
This guy never looked for a title. He's been ministering for years down in the Dearborn area, ministering to Muslims, loving them, encouraging them, not beating them up, but sharing the principles, karate instructor and all that. Nobody told him, "Oh, you can't do that because you're not a fivefold minister." No, he's a full-time minister. 30 years he shared the testimony of just setting a good example for his family. So what happens? People begin to die now, and they're asking him to do the funeral. Now, he didn't say, "Oh, I need to be a license. I need to be." No, he's being a minister. He shares his heart, and he blesses his family. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Richard. Well, you might say Richard's been with the Lord for many, many years. Travis, come up here, Travis. Hey, a little bit of extra excitement there. Travis is one of our new Christians here within the last number of months, and he's been a big blessing. Amen? Now, you know his good half. I won't say better because they're both better halves. Jenny's been a blessing with the kids and so forth. But let me just give you a little preface, okay? So this guy we've been trying to love to. We never once said, you bad person because you don't come to church. His wife invited him regularly. He didn't come to church, okay? He shows up after all the functions are over at the park when we had the park. That seemed like a comfortable ground to show up. So he shows up there, and he gets to meet us. Little by little, he begins to see we're not all that scary. So a number of months ago, he gives his heart to Jesus, okay? He gets saved. Now, the next thing we know, this guy's on fire. And he's sharing and talking, and he's telling me, Pastor, I want to be everything I can be. I want to learn. And I'm thinking, that's really exciting. So his mother graduated in the same high school I did. And some of you got to meet her a few weeks ago. She lives in Southern California. So she comes home, and we see each other. And of course, we're astounded. We're excited. And this is what she said to him. When did you give your life to God? And this guy said, did my wife tell you that? No, I'm your mother. There is a dramatic change in you, and I see it.
Amen.
So he invites his dad, who lives in Marcellus, and he comes up and watches a service on tape and that. He graduates and goes home to be with the Lord. This is anew. He's not saying, Pastor, give me some pastoral anointing. No, he says, I want to do the memorial. So who does the funeral? None other than Travis for his father, where his father's sisters and all are in awe.
Yes, yes.
Do you see what I'm trying to say? You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops and now I can do it. You can do it immediately. But if you haven't been a bridge where people look to your acts of kindness and goodness, you aren't going to get invited.
Amen.
Amen. Do we love Travis?
Yeah.
Now he protects our church and all the other things that he does in here. I'm not going to ask David and Glenda to stand, but they hooked up a few years ago. And David, I know it's no one does not know that he was incarcerated for a number of years, comes, falls in love. What's he doing? He's writing little things together, which a lot of you get when you come in. It's a ministry. It's going into prisons all over the place. How many prisons now are we in there? 17 prisons. He writes these little encouraging notes. We call them prophetic words, and you get them here. And they're going to a lot of other people. Now, he didn't look, Pastor, will you give my stamp of approval so I get some special anointing? He's got the anointing. It's inside him, and he's acting upon what he knows. And what is happening? People are being blessed. When I go in the prison to do a service, they're all waiting in line to get their little gift, and they want to see what God has spoken to them because it's a blessing to them. Amen? And in the jails and so forth. Jim Cray, come up here, Jim Cray. Come on, yes, yes, come on, yes. This is how we're wrapping up today. Because it's all about us, amen? We read that, us,
amen.
Ministers and us.
Worst shall be last.
Yes. Well, you want to be last? Is that what you're saying? So you can be first? Now, we all love Jimmy, don't we?
Yes.
Jimmy goes into the jail regularly. He does one-on-one with people that are incarcerated. No one's giving him a paycheck. Nobody's saying he has to do it. It's not because he's guilty. It's because he sees himself as a minister. We just recently got him in the prison. So he's going to be going in with CHAP, and once in a while when I go in now, to be a blessing, to reach others. He's been on Facebook, and he's got a teaching thing. And he's doing what he knows to do to encourage and help others. Now, he's been saved. He goes way back into my era of being saved. He goes back to the flower child days, you know. And
1971.
But nobody says, oh, you got to wait. But he's being a minister right where he's at. And do we love Jim here?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim. All right.
Amen.
And I could go on and on and on with using most all of you. Do you see that? Do you understand? You don't have to wait to be anointed because you've already been anointed.
That's right.
And the anointing came from Jesus when you got the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
So as you act upon the truth, but this is what I tell Pastor Mike, I don't know how to get people excited, but I do know what will get you excited, acting on what is already yours. When you begin to see people get saved, when you see people getting healed, when you get see people getting set free, it makes you happy. You want to stay on fire? Get other people and loose it. Don't beat them up and preach them to death or criticize them. Just be an open channel of loving God and loving people. And people want to be around you. And then you got something to offer. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we close this morning. Full-time ministers. And I challenge those that are watching by Facebook. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are already empowered to be a minister. Whether you can get out of your home or not, continuously act upon what you already know is yours. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Father, we're so blessed to have this powerful body of Christ that gathers under this roof, that knows they are endued with the power of the Holy Ghost within them, whether they're child or whether they're senior. We thank you for the work that you've begun in each and every one of us. And I pray today, Lord, that the ears to hear and eyes to see in the spirit realm will bring the revelation and will open their ears, and they will, this body will this year, 2018, see themselves as powerful ministers for God's kingdom, and will take whatever steps, as we broke the chains off today, will step out and be used and represent your kingdom, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love on your brothers and sisters. If you need special prayer, the altars are open.